Hare Krishna. Have some questions here, starting with Vrindavan Vihari, who's briefly asking that there are devotees who tell the story of how Shukadeva Goswami is Srimati Radharani's parrot, and he wants to know if there's any shastric evidence to that effect. I've heard the same being said in past times in regard to that being spoken by Vaishnavas, but I've never read any one place where that takes place. Anyway, that's all I can say. Whether it is somewhere or not, I don't know. But if it is, I haven't seen it. But that doesn't mean it's not somewhere. And Abigail, who wrote to us in the beginning of the year, and our apologies to Abigail, 15th of January, our apologies because our answer is a little belated. She wrote that she was 8 months pregnant. And she wanted to hear story descriptions or know where there was good description of Vrindavan Forest that she could read to her baby. Well, anyway, we hope that the baby is now already healthy, and no doubt born must be 8, I mean, it's February, and so 7 months old, 8 months old, and she can always read pastimes of Krishna and descriptions of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of different verses of Vrindavan Forest, but the lengthiest, extensive one is in the chapter, escapes me, but it's in the 10th canto, and Krishna and Balaram wandering in Vrindavan Forest, and Krishna is comparing Lord Balaram to showing how Lord Balaram is being glorified by the trees and the forest and the rivers and the bees and so many things. And that's a very, very beautiful description. And there are descriptions elsewhere in other Shastra. I can say that I've tried to, in the first volume of Navaraja Mahimna, I've made a very extensive description of Vrindavan, which is gleaned from these many sources, and although Navaraja Mahima is out of print, it's downloadable on the internet. So that's for Abigail. Now Bhakta Istvan, or Steve in Hungary, asks a question. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna sort of decries donating for some material gain. And yet at the same time, it's heard that we encourage people to donate because they'll get so many times the result. So what's going on? And it's a very good question, relevant question. That we find throughout Shastra. We'll see even in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Paramahansa Samhita, which is for the Paramahansas. But nonetheless, we see that at the end of prayers or pastimes, sometimes there is what is called a false stuti. And so much more that's to be found in other scriptures as well. False stuti, stuti means prayer, and phala means the fruit. And sometimes there are material benefits, sometimes there are heavenly benefits, sometimes there are spiritual benefits, sometimes there are transcendental benefits. All kinds of benefits are there from reciting a prayer, hearing a pastime, performing some particular activity. And it's very interesting. Well, why is that? The goal of, let's take Srimad Bhagavatam, is to get everyone to go back to Godhead. So why encourage material gain? And the answer is that while we know what the goal is, and we know where it is that we all want to go, but still, not everyone is necessarily there. And therefore, people need encouragement. And those people who require material benefits, they need to be encouraged, because by reciting those prayers, by hearing those pastimes, they become purified. And as they become purified, they become free from material motivation, and the motivation becomes completely spiritual. So, for instance, yes, donating, well, who are we to donate anything when everything belongs to Krishna anyway? Everything belongs to him. So why should we be, why should we think that we are giving something, a part of something that we have? But when people are not at that stage of spiritual advancement, then they should be encouraged. And Krishna says, Sakta Karma Vidvangso. He says, don't discourage people, but rather engage them in acts of devotion. So that's what it's about. Let's see how we can engage people in acts of devotion. And if that's what you want, if you want some material benefit, well, that's easy. Krishna will give you 1,000 times more. If you want prema, or if you want some spiritual benefit, well, Krishna's a lot more reluctant to give that. He'll give it, but not so easy to get. So it's a standard educational process that you have to be able to go through intermediary stages of learning to get to the ultimate purpose of your learning. You want to go up 10 flights of stairs, you have to take one step at a time. We should know where we want to go. That has to be very clear, and Shastra makes that abundantly clear. But sometimes people need encouragement to just get to the first floor, that there's something, some drink waiting for them there, some particular benefit. And that's why we encourage people to donate like that. Okay, Yogesh Bhatta is asking for some sure shot solution of controlling the wavering mind, something quick, something that can focus, keep the mind under control. Controlling the mind is not an easy thing. And there's certainly sure-shot solutions, but they're not overnight solutions. And there are mechanical methods for controlling the mind, and that's what yoga processes are about. But ultimately, mechanical means that they control the mind but don't free a person from the real cause of disturbance. And the cause of disturbance is material desires. So in order to become free from material desires, you have to purify the heart, or literally you have to purify the false ego. You have to free ourselves from this false ego that I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, and so on. And we have to reassume our original identity, that I am Krishna Das. Because the mind is just reflecting the condition of the heart, the state of the heart. So you may control it temporarily, but if the heart isn't pure, you lose control again. Now, that doesn't mean that controlling the mind mechanically is not an important thing. And the process of control And Krishna tells this to Arjuna, yes, abhyasena kuntena vairagena. Arjuna says that controlling the mind is as difficult as controlling the wind. And Krishna doesn't argue with him. He agrees. And he doesn't give any quick fix. He says, no, you have to practice, make the effort to control the mind by focusing it on things that are attractive to the mind. Krishna is attractive. Krishna is all attractive. Krishna's name is attractive. Krishna's prasadam is attractive. So many things about Krishna, everything about Krishna is all attractive. So if you forcibly fix the mind with the use of higher intelligence, because it requires intelligence to control the mind, if you fix it on the some object that will purify, then the heart will gradually become purified, and ultimately one will become free from all of those mental distractions. So when the heart is pure, then the mind just reflects what's in the heart. And if only Krishna is in the heart, then that's what the mind is going to reflect. It's going to reflect that state of the heart. It's like a mirror. So, you know, if you want to know the story, the picture of Dorian Gray, which is a famous English story. Anyway, if when you look in the mirror, you don't want to see Frankenstein, then you have to start changing your appearance, changing our spiritual appearance. So if we don't want to see all these horrible things when we look into our mind, then we have to change what's inside our heart. And if you just have Krishna in your heart, and if you have your spiritual identity within your heart, then that's what the mirror of the mind is going to show. Chaito darpanam anjanam. And temporarily controlling the mind is useful just for that, because if the mind isn't fixed, then what will happen? Then we won't get the spiritual purificatory benefit of all of those activities that we perform, like chanting Hare Krishna Pramada. If you're offensive, if you're distracted, it's just like when you're talking to somebody, or excuse me, someone's talking to you. If someone's talking to you and you're not listening, then you don't really get the gist of what they're saying. You tell, well, can you say that again, please? I didn't quite catch what you were saying. I didn't quite catch means that you weren't listening to what the other person was saying. And because you're not listening to what they're saying, therefore, you don't hear. So to get the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and associating with devotees and so many things, yes, we need to keep our mind under control and with strong intelligence, which comes from strong spiritual practice, because that's how Krishna then concludes the third chapter. He says that with this higher self control the lower self, then one is able to actually ultimately get complete mastery over the mind and come to the stage where the mind becomes the best friend rather than one's enemy. Friend, because it's always thinking about Krishna, because that's what's in the heart. Hare Krishna.